Hello and welcome to your GCSE Design and Technology Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics in the entire specification, and that is topic 2.3, the factors that influence the selection of ferrous and non-ferrous metals. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Metals? Really? But trust me, once you understand how designers and engineers actually choose their materials, you'll start seeing the world completely differently. Every car, every phone, every bridge, every piece of jewellery, all of it involves someone making a very deliberate decision about which metal to use and why. And here's the really exciting part for you as a GCSE student. This topic comes up in the written exam, it informs your coursework decisions, and examiners absolutely love it when candidates can link material selection to real-world contexts. So getting this right can make a real difference to your final grade. Let me start by making sure we're all on the same page with the basics. Metals are divided into two main families. First, we have ferrous metals, and the key thing to remember here is that ferrous metals contain iron. The word ferrous actually comes from the Latin word ferrum, which means iron. So ferrous equals iron containing. Examples include mild steel, cast iron, and stainless steel. Then we have non-ferrous metals. These do not contain iron. Think aluminium, copper, brass, gold, silver, and titanium. Non-ferrous metals are generally lighter, more corrosion resistant, and often more expensive than their ferrous counterparts. Now, the big question this topic asks is, how do designers decide which type of metal to use? And the answer isn't just about properties like strength or conductivity. There are six major categories of selection factors, and we're going to work through every single one of them today. Those six factors are aesthetic, environmental, availability, cost, social, and cultural and ethical. A brilliant memory hook to remember all six is the acronym AEACSCE, or think of it as a excellent and careful student considers everything. Aesthetic, environmental, availability, cost, social, cultural, and ethical. Keep that in your head because we're going to explore each one in depth right now. Let's start with aesthetic factors. Aesthetics is all about how something looks, feels, and appeals to the senses. When a designer selects a metal for aesthetic reasons, they're thinking about three main things: form, colour, and texture. Form refers to the shape and structure of the metal. Can it be bent, cast, or formed into the desired shape? Copper, for example, is highly malleable, meaning it can be shaped easily without cracking. This makes it a popular choice for decorative items and jewellery. Colour is hugely important in product design. Gold has that warm, lustrous yellow tone that signals luxury and value. Stainless steel has a cool, clinical silver appearance that works brilliantly in modern kitchens and medical environments. Copper has a distinctive reddish-brown colour that develops a beautiful green patina over time. Think of old copper rooftops or the Statue of Liberty. Texture is the surface quality of the metal. Is it rough or smooth, brushed or polished? A brushed aluminium finish on a laptop gives a premium tactile quality that consumers associate with high-end products. Examiners will award marks when candidates link specific aesthetic qualities to specific design contexts. Now let's move to environmental factors, and this is a really rich area for exam marks. There are four key environmental considerations. First, sustainability. How sustainable is the metal's production? Steel production, for example, is highly energy intensive and produces significant carbon dioxide emissions. Aluminium smelting requires enormous amounts of electricity. Designers who care about sustainability might choose recycled metals or metals with a lower environmental footprint. Second, pollution. The extraction and processing of metals can cause significant pollution. Acid mine drainage, toxic waste, air pollution from smelting. The mining of copper in parts of South America, for instance, has caused serious environmental damage to local ecosystems. Third, energy consumption. Steel production in a blast furnace requires temperatures exceeding 1500 degrees Celsius. That's an enormous amount of energy. Recycling steel uses approximately 75% less energy than producing new steel from raw ore. This is a really important fact for your exam. Fourth, corrosion and decay. Ferrous metals are prone to rusting when exposed to oxygen and moisture. This is a major environmental and economic problem. Rusting steel infrastructure costs billions of pounds to repair and replace every year. Non-ferrous metals like aluminium and copper naturally form a protective oxide layer that prevents further corrosion, making them much more durable in outdoor environments. Our third factor is availability. This covers three main areas. Stock materials are standard sizes and forms of metal that are readily available from suppliers, things like steel sheet, aluminium bar, copper tube. Using stock materials keeps costs down and speeds up production because you're not waiting for custom orders. Specialist materials, on the other hand, might need to be specially ordered, and this increases lead times and costs. Titanium, for example, is a specialist material used in aerospace and medical implants. It's incredibly strong and lightweight, but it's expensive and not as widely available as mild steel. Market price and world consumption are also critical. Metal prices fluctuate based on global supply and demand. The London Metal Exchange, or LME, is where commodity prices for metals like copper, aluminium, and zinc are set. When demand for electric vehicles increases, for example, the global demand for copper, used in wiring and motors, rises sharply, pushing up prices. A designer or manufacturer needs to factor in these price fluctuations when making material decisions.
Now let's talk about cost factors, and this is where things get really interesting from a business perspective. The quality of the material matters enormously. Higher grade stainless steel, for instance, costs significantly more than mild steel, but it lasts longer, requires less maintenance, and looks better. A designer has to weigh up that initial cost against the lifetime value. Manufacturing processes also affect cost. Some metals are easier and cheaper to work with than others. Aluminium is relatively easy to machine and weld, keeping manufacturing costs lower. Titanium, while incredibly strong, is notoriously difficult to machine and requires specialist equipment, which pushes costs up dramatically. The commodity price on the London Metal Exchange directly affects material costs for manufacturers. When copper prices spike, as they did during the global chip shortage and electric vehicle boom, manufacturers of electrical products face significantly higher costs. Some switch to aluminium wiring as a cheaper alternative, though this comes with its own engineering challenges. And finally, the cost of recycling versus producing new steel is a fascinating consideration. Recycled steel, made in an electric arc furnace, is cheaper to produce and far more environmentally friendly than virgin steel from a blast furnace. This is why the steel industry has been investing heavily in recycling infrastructure. Social factors are all about how a product fits into the lives of different people and communities. Designers must consider which social groups will use their product. A high-end watch made from solid gold targets a very different demographic than a stainless steel sports watch. The material choice communicates something about the product's identity and its intended user. Trends and fashion play a huge role. Rose gold became enormously fashionable in consumer electronics and jewellery during the 2010s. Suddenly, everyone wanted rose gold phone cases, watches, and rings. Designers who spotted this trend early were able to capitalise on it. Conversely, a material that looks dated can make a product feel unfashionable, even if it's functionally excellent. Popularity and cultural associations also matter. In some cultures, gold is deeply associated with wealth, celebration, and good fortune. In others, certain metals carry historical or symbolic significance. A designer working for a global market needs to be aware of these associations. And that brings us to our final category, cultural and ethical factors. And this is an area that examiners increasingly want to see candidates engage with thoughtfully. Avoiding offence is a real consideration. Certain materials carry cultural or religious significance in different parts of the world. A product designed for a global market needs to consider whether its material choices might inadvertently cause offence or be inappropriate for certain markets. Suitability for the intended market goes beyond just avoiding offence. It's about understanding what the target market values. Luxury markets value precious metals and fine craftsmanship. Mass market products prioritise cost efficiency and durability. The consumer society and effects of mass production raise important ethical questions.
The global demand for cheap consumer goods has driven the mass extraction of metals, often in ways that damage local environments and exploit workers in developing countries. Ethical designers and companies are increasingly asking, where does this metal come from? Was it mined responsibly? Were the workers paid fairly? Built-in product obsolescence is another critical ethical issue. This is when products are deliberately designed to have a limited lifespan, encouraging consumers to buy replacements. From a materials perspective, this means metals that could be recycled end up in landfill instead. Examiners will credit candidates who can discuss the ethical implications of planned obsolescence in relation to material selection. Now, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You also need to know how to present it in the exam to maximize your marks. The most common mistake I see candidates make is describing a factor without explaining its impact. For example, writing copper is expensive earns you one mark, but writing copper is expensive because global demand from the electric vehicle industry has driven up commodity prices on the London Metal Exchange, which means manufacturers may substitute aluminium wiring to reduce production costs despite its lower conductivity. That's a response that could earn you 4 or 5 marks. Always ask yourself, so what? Why does this matter? What is the consequence of this factor for the designer or manufacturer? The second big mistake is treating these factors in isolation. In reality, designers have to balance multiple competing factors simultaneously. A brilliant exam answer will acknowledge trade-offs. For example, while stainless steel is more expensive than mild steel, its corrosion resistance reduces long-term maintenance costs, making it a more cost-effective choice over the product lifetime. Third mistake, not using specialist terminology. Words like malleability, corrosion resistance, commodity price, London Metal Exchange, planned obsolescence, built-in obsolescence, signal to the examiner that you understand the subject at a deep level. Use them, but use them correctly. Fourth, for evaluate questions, you must make a judgment. Don't just list pros and cons. Conclude. Which factor is most significant? Which material would you recommend and why?
Right, it's time for our quickfire recall quiz. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Pause the podcast after each one, say your answer out loud, then press play to hear the answer. Ready? Let's go. Question 1. What does ferrous mean? Answer: ferrous means containing iron. Question 2. Name 3 non-ferrous metals. Answer: any 3 from aluminium, copper, brass, gold, silver, titanium, zinc. Question 3. What are the 3 aesthetic factors that influence metal selection? Answer: form, colour, and texture. Question 4. Approximately how much less energy does recycling steel use compared to producing new steel? Answer: approximately 75% less energy. Question 5. What is the London Metal Exchange? Answer: the London Metal Exchange is where commodity prices for metals like copper, aluminium, and zinc are set globally. Question 6. What is planned obsolescence? Answer: planned obsolescence, also called built-in obsolescence, is when products are deliberately designed to have a limited lifespan, encouraging consumers to buy replacements. Question 7. Give one example of a social factor that influences metal selection. Answer: any one of trends and fashion, popularity, use for different social groups, demographic targeting. Question 8. Why is stainless steel used for cutlery and medical instruments? Answer: because it is corrosion resistant and hygienic. It doesn't rust or react with food or bodily fluids. Question 9. What is the environmental problem with ferrous metals? Answer: ferrous metals contain iron and are prone to rusting, corrosion, and decay, which is both an environmental and economic problem. Question 10. What acronym can help you remember the 6 selection factors? Answer: AEACSCE, aesthetic, environmental, availability, cost, social,
cultural and ethical. How did you do? If you got 8 or more, you're in great shape. If you got fewer than 6, go back and reread your notes on the factors you struggled with. Then try again tomorrow. Retrieval practice. Testing yourself like this is one of the most powerful revision techniques supported by research. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. We learned that metals are divided into ferrous, containing iron, and non-ferrous, not containing iron. We explored the 6 key factors that influence metal selection. Aesthetic factors, including form, colour, and texture. Environmental factors, including sustainability, pollution, energy consumption, corrosion, and corrosion. Availability factors, including stock materials, specialist materials, and commodity pricing. Cost factors, including material quality, manufacturing processes, the London Metal Exchange, and recycling versus new production. Social factors, including social groups, trends, fashion, and popularity. And cultural and ethical factors, including avoiding offence, suitability for the intended market, the consumer society, mass production effects, and planned obsolescence. In the exam, remember, always explain the impact of each factor. Use specialist terminology, acknowledge trade-offs between competing factors, and make clear judgments and evaluate questions. You've got this. Keep revising, keep testing yourself, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck.